Today's share is Masechta Menachos Daf Pei Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph on the top line. We learned in the Mishnah Chatzi Leg Shemen L'Toida. The Mishnah taught us that for the Chalos of the Toida they use the Chatzi Leg Shemen. Says the Maratanya, we learned in a Brisa B'kiva Ayma Mat Tamalim B'Shem B'Shemen Shtei Pomim. The Torah, when it speaks about the Lachmei Toida, says the word B'Shemen. Says the word b'shemen twice. It says in Maltoida Yakovera Vikral Zavach Toida Chals Matzis Blulus b'shemen Rikiki Matzis Meshuchin b'shemen. It should have been enough to say Chals Matzis Blulus Rikiki Matzis Meshuchin b'shemen. Why does the Torah say it that way? Answers the Braisa Eloi Nema El b'shemen Echad. If the Torah would have said the word shemen only words, we would assume that the Lachmei Toida are treated like all the other Korban Minchas and requires a like Shemen. Now that the Torah wrote the word B'Shemen twice, so this falls into the category of Havaribu Yachribu, and the rule is then Ribu Yachribu, when we have a double Ribu, it's there, El Lamat. It's there to teach us that we should limit. Mi'ata kosef, and the Torah is taking the normal loig shemen, which is the amount that's brought for Korban Mincha, and reducing it to chatzi loig. So the Tosfos Yontif, quoting the Beis Yosef, says that this rule that we have found, that we have learned often, of ein ribu achribu elamat, is actually aloch l'mashim Sinai. Another way of explaining it is that the Yad Ramos explains that if we only had one ribui, so as we have the Chol HaTorah Kula, whenever we have only one ribui, the one ribui is clearly there to be marba, to include things. But why would the Torah have said a second ribui? The fact that the Torah adds a second ribui, it's coming to be mamat, because with anything we wanted to be marba, we could have been marba from the first ribui. Similar way of explaining, he suggests that if the Torah's goal was to be marba, it could have just said one ribui. Why did the Torah have to say two ribuis? The Torah is saying two ribuis to tell us that the second ribui is not here to teach us a ribui. It's actually coming to teach us that to be mamat. So I saw that the Achronim ask a question, but this entire approach is quite understandable if the Korban Toida were considered a Korban Mincha. So if the Korban Toida is considered a Korban Mincha, we could well understand that the Gemara's discussion, that first we would think that it should be treated like a Korban Mincha with a loig. Now we say it's a chatzi loig. But they ask, have actually learned on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis that the Lachmei Toida are not called a Korban Mincha. So if the Lachmei Toida are not called a Korban Mincha, what is the thinking of this Gemara? So the Karen Oira explains that it's not, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that the Lachmei Toida, that the Lachmei Toida are real Korban Mincha, because they aren't, as the Gemara said. Rather, what the Gemara meant to say was that we always find when the Torah speaks about Shemen, the Torah speaks about a loig Shemen. So we would assume that here too, it means a loig Shemen like it normally does. That's why we have the special Ribui Acharibui to tell us that no, it only means a Chatzi loig. That's one approach. Doel Shlema actually says that it's a question, it's a machloikis, if the Korban Toida, the Lachmei Toida, are considered a Korban Mincha. And this Gemara is following the opinion that holds that it is considered a Korban Mincha. Ribui Acharibui, but ask the Gemara, are we to understand this Pasuk, ask the Gemara, as a double Ribui, Chad Ribuhu? The Pasuk mentioning Shemen twice is not to be considered Ribui Acharibui, because the first time the Torah says B'Shemen, it's not there as superfluous. It's there to teach us the basic halacha that we have to have Shemen over here. And if that's the case, we don't have a double ribui. Ella, says the Gemara, Ila inem b'shemen kol ikar. If the Torah, the way to understand the Gemara is the Torah would not have said Shemen at all. Hayisi aymer reka kol menachas. It would be treated like all other carbon minchas, leloig, that it should require loig. Achshu shenema b'shem b'shemen, have a ribui ach ribui. Now we can understand why it's considered ribui ach ribui, because even the first shemen is not needed. It's obvious that it needs shemen, and therefore, like all other carbon minchas, and therefore, vein ribui ach ribui, it comes to be considered a double ribui, and lamat, and it comes to exclude mi'ata kosov chatziloig. The Torah is telling us that the chatziloig is sufficient. Yotzi continues the brisa. Yochel chatziloig zem mischalik l'shloishim minim. The carbon toida has three types of matzah, as we've learned: chalas, rikikin, or vikin. And we would assume that they should be brought the all that the shemen should be divided equally amongst all three of these matzahs. And as the Rishonim point out, there are also 10 chametz. But the chametz chalas don't require shemen. So therefore, this discussion cannot be referring to the shemen part, to the chalas part, but we would think that should be equally divided amongst all the matzah type of chalas. Shemen, b'shemen, b'revika. When the Torah speaks about the matzahs that are the revuka type, Torah says, "V'saros mruvekas chalas blulus b'shemen." Shein tamaloymer. The Torah already spoke about the shemen by the chavitim. Why did the Torah have to single this out? Rimas shemen l'revuka. What the Torah is telling us is that we should put more shemen on the matzahs that are revuka. Okay, tzad. How is this accomplished? Maybe chatzi like shemen. As we've been learning, we bring a chatzi like shemen for chatzeu when it's divided. Chetzia l'chalas rikikin. A revius is given for divided amongst the chalas rikikin, and another revius for chetzia is used for the revika. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, to which Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria said, Akiva, im atamar b'kol yom kula b'shemen b'shemen. If you will try the entire day to learn from the double, the fact that it says shemen twice, eini shemelach, I won't pay attention to you. El chatzi loig shemen l'toidam, the chatzi loig that we're speaking about in our shir that I use for these 30 loaves, v'revi'a shemen l'nozer, that the halacha is that the lachmei nozer, that it brings 20 loaves that require only a revi'a shemen, v'achra siyoim, Shebein nida l'nida. The halacha is as follows. A woman's life, midaraisa, we must emphasize that this halacha midaraisa, are divided into a cycle of 7 days and 11 days. A woman begins to see dam. The halacha is, no matter if she saw dam once or she saw dam continuously, as long as by the end of the seventh day, she's no longer seeing dam, she goes to the mikvah on that night, and she's tahor. Then begins a cycle of 11 days. During those days, which are known as the Acher Asa Yimei Ziva, then, or Acher Asa Yom Shebein Nidl Nida, the halacha is that if she sees dam once, she's a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, that she just has to make sure the next day she doesn't see dam. The same halacha applies if she saw dam for 2 days, she's a shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim. As long as the third day she's clean, she's fine. However, if she saw dam for 3 consecutive days, now the halacha is that she has to wait zayin yomim nekiyim. She has to have 7 days through which she does, in which she sees no dam. And then on the seventh day, she goes to the mikvah. And on the eighth day, she brings a carbon. And then after that, the cycle begins again, the 7 and 11. All of this, he says, are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. These are not based on the psukim. Some explain that when we speak about the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, is that the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that you only bring a chatzi loig, not a loig. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria will agree to Rabbi Kiva that the way that chatzi loig is divided, that we said one revius is used for the revuka, and one revius are used for the chalas or kikin, is learned from the pasuk, because the Torah adds the word shem beravuka, and others explain that everything that we're learning in the sugya, not just the amount of oil, but how that oil is divided, is learned by halach, according to Rabbi Ben Azariah, by halach Mashma Sinai. We learned in the Mishnah, the lug hayamided, when it came to old menaches, we used the lug. And the Mishnah quoted a machloikus of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to Chachamim, when we have a very large carbon mincha, as we explained in our previous year, the largest carbon mincha would be a mincha that has in its 60 isaron flour. And the question was, how many loig shemen do we have to put in there? Do we have to put one loig for every isaron, or one loig for the entire carbon mincha? Says the Matan Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us with Mitzare Ani. The Ani, who on the eighth day, after he became Torah, on the eighth day, he brings one animal, a keves l'asham, ksiv, and the pasuk says that he brings a mincha. The Torah says, Isarin soilus echad bol b'shem el mincha v'loik shemen. The Torah says, limeid al isarin shetan log. So the Gemara says, we learn from here that every isarin of flour brings a responsibility to being a loik shemen. Divrei chacham, that's the opinion of the chachamim. U'mechemya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aymerim, afil a mincha shel shishim isroinim, even if you have a very large carbon mincha, the halacha is, even if you have a very large carbon mincha, all you have to bring is one loig of shemen. Shnema lemincha v'loig shemen. The word lemincha is not put in the right place. It should have said v'loig shemen lemincha. The loig shemen is part of the mincha. So why does it say mincha before the loig shemen? Says the Torah Tamima to teach us the rule that every carbon mincha only requires one loig shemen. Ask the Gemara from Nechemiah, Rav Lezben, Yaakov, Hai, Yisarim, Bol, Avaloig. Those words that he learned, the Chachamah learned from those words, that every Yisarim requires its own loig shemen. My Avdalei, why would they do those words? And for the Gemara, Hula Gofei. That's Pasuk come to teach us, the Kamar Achmana. The Torah is telling this Mitzayra Ani, Lai Sichad Yisarim. He has to bring an isarin with a loig shemen. Vidach, the chamim, how do they use this pasuk to teach us the halacha for all the other carbon minchas? Isn't this pasuk needed to teach us how the minchas mitzayra ani is brought? Answers the Gemara, lugufei lo tzarich. They don't need the pasuk for that purpose. Midagol ha-rachmana gav mitzayra asher. Since the Torah, when he speaks about mitzayra asher, where the Torah says, has to bring Shalosh Kabanas, a Kabban Chattas, a Kabban Oil, and a Kabban Asham. Vishalosh Esroinus, and there he also has to bring three Esroinus for the Michas Nasachim. Hacha, when we speak about a Mitzayra Ani, the Chad Kabban that he only brings only one Kabban, the Kabban Asham. Chad Isarin, so it's obvious that he only brings one Isarin. Why did the Torah have to teach us Chad Isarin? To teach us the Halacha that every Kabban Mincha, every Isarin needs a Loik Shemen. Vidach, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that this pasuk is needed to teach us the basic halacha of the mitzayra itzrich. Salkadat chamina hoyel v'chas rachmana. Since we see that the Torah is so concerned about him, l'suyi b'dalas, that the Torah says because he can't afford, he need not bring three animals. One animal alone is adequate. Maybe emi loy l'bayim mincha klal. Maybe the Torah also doesn't require him to bring a Karban Mincha. That's why we need a pasuk to say that even though he's a Mitzayra Ani, he needs to bring a Karban Mincha. Vidach, and the other man, the Hamas, says that that wasn't the Havamina. The Chama hold, L'gamri L'yashkhan, it doesn't make sense to them that there should be no requirement for Mincha at all, even though he's a Mitzayra Ani. Rabbanan asked the Gemara, L'mincha like Shemin, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov used to teach us that even when you bring a large Karban Mincha, one like Shemen is enough. What will the Rabbanan do with that pasuk? My Avdalei, Ahul Masnad Mincha. There's somebody donates a Karban Mincha, Shlo Yifchas Midover Hatan Loig. That you should not donate less flour than the amount of flour that requires a like Shemen. My Niu, how much flour does that represent in Isarim? that you can never bring donate a korban mincha with less than a sar of flour. Vidach, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that he uses this pasuk to teach us that one loig, even for a very large korban mincha, where will he know this halacha from? He says the Gemara Tati Shemat Minar. He learns both halachas. One is that one loig is sufficient even for a very large korban mincha, and one is that it always has to have an asarin. And the way I sort of Rishayim explained this is because both of these psukim are in the words of the pasuk, and since both of these words, these halachas, are understood in the words of the pasuk, there's no need to say the pasuk twice. Shisha, we learned in the Mishnah, shlisha lugim lepar, when we brought a par, we brought shisha lugim lepar, abba were brought la'ayil, and shloisha were brought when the animals are kevis. Menolon, ask the Gemara, where do we learn these halachas from? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, by the karbonis that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, niskein chatzi ahin yil apar, v'shlisha so'in la'ayin, la'ayil v'risa l'kevis, hin trei selugin hava, tehin has in it 12 lugin, the pasuk says, when the Moshe Rabbeinu manufactured the Shemen HaMishcha, and the pasuk says Shemen Zayis Hin, the Ksiv, and also Shemen Mishcha is Koydez Yir Zeh Lila Derei Seichem, Zeh Begimatria Trei Sahava, Zeh is 12, so we see that they use 12, and if the Loig is the smallest shear, so the Torah is saying that it had 12 Loig, so when the Torah says a Chatzei Hin, which is stated by a par, it means 6 Loig. When the Torah speaks about a third of a hin by an aisle, it means 4 loig. And when the Torah speaks about a quarter of a hin by a kevis, it means shloisha lugim. The question, of course, is that yes, we're using the word zeh as a gematria to teach us that it's 12. But the question is, how do we know that it's 12 lugim? Maybe it means 12 revius. So Rashi explains that we never find in the Torah that we use less than a loig, so it must be measured in loig. The Rosh explains that, in general, we can't use a gematria to teach us firmly a halacha. He says, for example, when we say in the morning, the brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, the b'shloish has submitted for Torah and the dreshes, the 12 different ways that we can learn psukim, gematria is not included in that list. Why is a gematria not included in that list? Because the gematria is not one of the ways that that halachas are taught. So really, he says that everything that we're learning here was really taught just through a Kabbalah that they have, that that's the proper way of understanding, and the gematria that the Gemara is bringing here is not to be understood any more than just an asmachta, just a backup to this halacha, but not to be understood that this is the full basis of the halacha. We learned from the Mishnah, Shloisha machzel l'naira, they brought 3.5 loig for lighting the menaira, chatzi loig l'chol ner, they used a half a loig for every candle. Ask the Gemara Menon Emili, how do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanon, the pasuk says, regarding the lighting the menaira, b'ayil ma'id b'chutz l'preichas ashala edus, Yarch Oisai Aaron Abonov, Me'erv Abaik Lufnei Hashem. And the question is that we don't light the menorah all night long. Me'erv Abaik would seem to mean that we're lighting the candles all night long. Ella, what is Tenloy Midas, put in enough oil, Shtei Delechas Vailechas Me'erv Abaik, that it can light all night long. Tavacher, Me'erv Abaik, Ein Lucha Avoid Shikshere Me'erv Abaik. There's no avoida that can be done at night. Ela zu bavad, only this avoida. There's a number of pshatim. What does this mean? The one pshat is that the last avoida that's done, the easiest pshat is that the last avoida that's done in the Beis HaMikdash is every day is the lighting of the menorah. Another pshat is that that it should be lit by the shkia, which many rishonim find difficult because the menorah is lit actually earlier, Beit Abayim. So Tosfos asks The Gemara says that there's no other avodah that's done at night besides lighting the menorah. But isn't the halacha that the Trumas Hadeshen, what they cleaned off the Mizbeach every morning, the halacha is that it's kosher kol halayla, and the burning of the hekta evarim pedarim was also all night. So why are we saying that this is the only avodah that's done at night? So the answer is, the Trumas Hadeshen, even though it was indeed done at night, the halacha does not view it as if it was done at night. The halacha actually views it, says Tosfos, as the first avodah of the day. And even though it was done before daybreak, it's considered like the first avodah of the day. That's as far as that avodah. Regarding the simile, when we speak about the hekta chalavim vayvarim, even though indeed the halach is that the hekta chalavim vayvarim can be done all night, they're not considered an avoid of the night. They're considered the culmination of the avoider that was done every day. Says the Gemara, v'shiur ha-chachamim, and Chazal determined that the chatziloy, that if you put in a chatziloy of oil, it will burn me'ortav atzafra from the night till the morning. Ikadamri, but that is a machloikis, exactly how they made this determination. Ikadamri mamala mamata shiru, that they started with a full loig, and they saw that the full loig was too much, and then they kept on going down and down until they ended up with a half a loig, and that was the way they identified that that's what's needed for a whole night. Vikadamri, mamata mamala shiru, that actually they did it the other way around. They started with less than a loig, and then they saw that less than a chatzi loig, they saw that wasn't adequate, so they added until they came up to the determination that you need a half a loig. Says the Gemara, where do these two different approaches come from? Says the Gemara, we didn't want to waste any oil, so they started with the minimum amount of oil, and then they worked their way up until they needed a chatzi loig. The other approach, that they started with a loig and then they worked their way down to chatzi loig, is because there's a rule, ein anias b'makom shiras. So the Mefarshim ask, how could they put in that less than they required? Isn't there a halacha of ten loig kibidasai? We just learned that the halacha requires that we should put in as much as requires, should they like us at a biker, that it should keep on lighting. So according to the approach, they start with less and kept on adding, why would that not be a violation of that halacha? So the Chazon Ish suggests that they actually didn't do the testing in a Kli Kodesh, because in a Kli Kodesh you would have this problem. They did the testing on a regular Keli, and that's how they were able to determine how much oil they needed. Another pshat is a very important question. What happens if you add oil to a candle that's already burning? Is that considered that you fulfill the obligation? And it could be that they put less oil than required in the candle, and then they saw that that wasn't enough, and they added. But adding oil to the candle is considered an adequate way of being mekayim the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros. The Medrash Tanchuma says that Chanina Sagana Kaharim says, indeed, Ani Yisi Shamsh Beis HaMikdash, I did the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, Omais Nisim Hoi B'Menoira. He says there were incredible Nisim with the Menoira. Shemadlikim Oysim Rosh Hashanah, they lit the Menoira in Rosh Hashanah, Eloi Oysim Miskaba at Shana Achrenes, and it didn't get extinguished. So the Brisker Rav met the Gerer Rebbe, the Imre Emes, and he asked him, according to this medrash, that they lit the menorah just once a year, isn't the Gemara say that you have to light the menorah every day, as we're learning in our Gemara? If they lit the menorah only once a year, how did they fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the menorah on a daily basis? The Imre Emes responded to the Brisker Rav that every day they added a little oil to that cup. and adding a little oil to the cup, he said, it's considered fulfilling the lighting of the menorah, as we just suggested was the way that the people who hold that they lit less to fulfill the mitzvah. The Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, however, disagrees, and he says that that is not considered an adequate way, a proper way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros. And actually, he explains that there are two different concepts in halacha. There's one concept of mavir, and there's one concept of madlik. On Shabbos, not only is it also to be madlik, to light a candle, but it's also to do an act of havara. And adding oil to the menorah is indeed considered an act of mavir. But he says that if you want to fulfill the obligation of hadlaka, which is what the Torah requires when it comes to the menorah, then that would not be the fulfillment. So we said in our Gemara that they put a chatzi loig shemen every day into the menorah, and that was the amount that they needed for the whole night. Of course, the question that comes up is that not all the nights of the year are equal in length. The summer has shorter nights. The winter has longer nights. So what did they do? So one pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that even though they always put in the same amount of oil, but they used thicker and thinner wicks. And according to the length of the night, that's how they determined what type of wick they need to use. Another pshat that Rashi suggests is that they would throw out the extra oil in the morning. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph, when it speaks about the Chanukah menorah, the halacha is that the Chanukah menorah, the candle should burn for a half an hour. The Shulchan Aruch says if that's the case, one should use 1/24th of a half a log of oil, which he says that since a half a log is required to burn for 12 hours, 1/24th of the amount is needed for a half an hour. Says the Magen Avraham that isn't actually accurate. He says, just like we learned now, that it's not just the amount of oil that is taken into consideration when we speak about the burning of the menorah. The thickness of the wick is also taken into consideration. And really, says the Machzor Shekel, this question that the Magen Avraham is bringing up is connected to the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos that we just said. Also, the machlokes that we just had in the Gemara of how they measured how much oil they need, using less or using more, can be used, says the Mashah, in understanding the Nes of Chanukah, and not just in understanding the Nes of Chanukah, but could also be used in answering the famous question of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef asks a question that we celebrate, the famous question that we celebrate 8 nights of Chanukah. But he asked the first night, what was the Nes? So Chanukah should only be 7 nights. So Mashah explains that since our Gemara just taught that there's a legitimate way of testing, what's the legitimate way of testing? Putting in less and see how long it will burn. So since the people at the time of the Nes Chanukah knew that they didn't have enough oil, what they did was they started off with less oil. And by starting off with less oil, was seeing maybe it will be enough. And that's exactly what happened. That even though that amount of oil would normally not be the right amount of oil to last all night, here what happened was that on the first night, they put in less oil than they normally would. And even though they put in less oil than they normally would, there was an incredible Nes, and it burnt for the entire night. So that's why already the first night there was a Nes. Our Gemara is also teaching us, and the way to understand the Gemara is that there's sort of a competition here. On one hand, there's a concept of Ein Anis B'Mokum Ashiris, that that in the Beis HaMikdash we want to do things in the most broad manner, in the most generous manner. And that's why we started with more and worked our way down. And the other way is that Torah Chasam Manav Shal Yisrael. And as we've discussed in previous Shurim, these two concepts really are competing concepts. And we need to have a rule. And we said different Shurim, we said different ways of understanding what should be done in different situations. I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed actually brings a question. He says there was a shul that had lights, and there was a dispute amongst the members of the shul what should be done with those lights. Some people wanted the lights to remain on all of the time, and because ein anis b'makom mashiris, and others said there's a concept of a tayra chasam amanish Yisrael. There's a point of having light from a shul, and therefore what should be done? Should we have the lights on, like ein anis b'makom mashirim? The shul should represent a place of oir, of light, or should we say a tayra chasam amanim shel Yisrael? And we have this debate. And he, interestingly enough, says that at any time where we could say, where we could say there's a reason to do something in a more generous fashion, that is the direction to take. And since here, those who are claiming that the light should be on all the time have a good reason for their opinion, that is enough. Since they have a good reason for their opinion, that is enough, he says, that the light should be kept on all night. Here we're learning that the menorah should be on the erev ad boker. And from here we see that the menorah, explained many mefarshim, which represents Torah, represents that the Torah should be learnt at light. As the Mishnah Berurah, as the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and Aruch Chaim, Simon Reish Lamed Hey, Ramachesef Aleph, Tzorach Lizor Belim Na Torah Belaila Yosem Vishal Yoim. We have to be concerned about making sure that we learn Torah every night, even maybe more than being concerned about learning Torah every day. And as the Mishnah Berurah explains, Chazal teach us, Loi Nivra Halayla, Gemara Masechet Erevin, Daf Samachei Amud Aleph, Loi Nivra Halayla, Ela Lagirsa. Night was created for learning. And Me'erev HaBoker, just like the menorah, which represents Liman HaTorah, was all night, Torah should be learned at night. And Mishnah Berurah, in fact, in Sifkot and Aleph over there says, Halayma Torah B'layla, somebody who learns Torah by night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Avlov Chut Shel Chesed B'Yoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that he should be find favor all day. And the Rambam, the famous Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Apish Mitzvah Lomay B'Yoyim B'Layla, even though there's a mitzvah to learn Torah by day and by night, Ein Odom Loimed Rav Chachma, Rav Chachmasai, a person doesn't get most of his knowledge Ela B'Light. L'fikach, says the Rambam, Mishiroi Tzalitzkos B'Kesa HaTorah, somebody who wants to become a Talmud Chacham, Yizor B'Chol Le'Loisav, he should be careful about every night, he shouldn't waste even one of them sleeping, eating, drinking, schmoozing. So we see that you have to learn every night. However, there's a big machlokes. What does it mean learning every night? Oh, of course, because the question is that one, of course, cannot learn all night long. So what is the proper time if you can't learn all night? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Zohar, that the Mishnah Berurah says that it means the second half of the night. And it seems that that's the opinion of the Ben Ishchai and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that it's better to first go to sleep and then learn. The Rukas Abaisem, the Daki Chayim Vishalom, say that it's better to learn first and then go to sleep. And the truth of the matter is, the way I saw that many Paiskim suggest, that there really isn't a hard and fast rule. Rather, it was dependent on the individual and dependent on the circumstances. If somebody thinks he can learn better in the first half of the night, that's when he should learn. If he thinks he can learn better in the second half of the night, then he should learn in the second half of the night. Always do what's always do whatever will help that your learning will be best. As we've been learning the halachas of the michas nesachim, we've been learning that the michas of different animals are different sizes. The par was shloisha esroidim soilus and two logim yain and shemen. The ayil was two esroidim soilus, four logim yain and shemen. And the kevis was one esroidim soilus and three logim of yain and shemen. And Amish begins our discussion when these different types of michas nesachim got mixed together. It says the Mishnah, Me'arve nechse parim v'nechse elam. We're allowed to mix the yain or shemen of the parim with the elam, even though they don't have the same shear, because the halacha is that the shemen and yain are the same. We put shnei logim shemen for every yisarin. So we're going to always have the same type of consistency. And since we're always going to have the same type of consistency, therefore it's mutter. It says again, ma'avin snepar v'nechse elim, nechse kvasim v'nechse kvasim. We can mix the nechse kvasim with each other. Shel yochid b'shel tzibur. We can mix the nechse kvasim of a carbon yochid with the nechse kvasim of tzibur. Again, because their ratios are the same. Shel yoim b'shel emesh. The halacha is that if somebody doesn't have to bring the mechas nesachim, we've learned many times, you don't have to, maybe other mechas, a person could bring his mechas nesachim many days later. And therefore, if you have mechas of different days, the halacha is that they could be mixed together. The halacha explains the chazanish of this Mishnah is all based on a Gemara that we've learned previously, that ain oilim mevatlim zeh, something that's put on the mizbeach, ain oilim, something that's put on the mizbeach is not mevatl one the other. And since they're not mevatl one the other, and they have the same ratio, it's all the same. It's interesting to point out that by the menachas of all the yom tovim, the pasuk speaks about the par va'ayil, and one pasuk, and the mincha of the keves is mentioned in another pasuk. Why is that? So I saw that the Sefer Levi Omar says a very good pshat. Because the halacha is, as our Mishnah says, that we can mix the mincha of the parim and the elam together. The reason we can mix the mincha of the parim and elam together is because they all have the same ratio, oil, wine, and flour. However, the mechas kvasim don't have the same ratio. So there we can't, as the Mishnah says, aval ein ma'arav nechse kvasim v'nechse parim ve'elim. We can't mix the nechse kvasim together with the nechse parim ve'elim because they don't have the same ratio. The way the Torah shows us this halacha is by separating and mentioning the nesachim of the parim ve'elim separately from the nesachim of the kvasim, to teach us that the kvasim are separate, the kvasim have to be kept separate from the parim and the elim. Continues the Mishnah. So as we said, aval ein ma'arvin, we cannot mix together nechse kvasim and nechse parim ve'elim. Vimbalo, if one did mix them together, if one first did the avodah of each one separately, then this arvo and then they got mixed together, ksherim. The halach is that b'di'evid, they're allowed to be kept on the mizbeach. And the Chazanish explains, the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that it depends when the belila was done. If first the belila of each one was done properly, and then they got mixed up, that it's kosher. But if they got mixed up before the belila took place, then it would be possible. Hakeves The keves that was brought with the mechas oimer, apish mechasa kfula, even though they had two esroinim, like nechsach of kfulim, even they would bring three lugim of wine and three lugim of shemen, like they did by all other kabbanas that come from kvasim. Says the Gemara of Elimenu, the pasuk says regarding the karban shlomim, the chelvei karban shlomim, the ktira kainim is becha. What does the Torah say? Viktiroi, not vihikter. We learn from Mishlayar Avim, chalovim, the chalovim. One should not mix up with the chalovim of one carbon with the chalovim of the carbon. So if that's the case, why don't we learn from there that so too should be the halacha by the nesachim, that we're not allowed to mix them together? Amar V'yachanan, says V'yachanan, when the Mishnah says ma'arvin, doesn't mean that we're allowed to do so l'chatchila. The Mishnah should be understood im nis'arv kamar. Ask the Gemara if that it only be the Evid. L'chatchila, indeed, we're not allowed to mix them together. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, ihaki, let's continue. The Mishnah says, v'ein ma'arv nechasei kfasim nechasei parim ve'elim. Does that mean v'afilu nis'arv namiloi? Is that to be understood that there the Mishnah is telling us that even but the evidence is not acceptable? Ask the Gemara, Hamadiktani Sefer, when the Mishnah spoke about Parim Kvasim, and the Mishnah said, Balam Eil B'fnei Atzmam V'Eil B'fnei Atzmam, Nes'ar V'Ksherim Mechlal, isn't that an indication to Reish L'Chatchil Kamar, that the Reish is talking about a L'Chatchil Mutter, and the Sefer is saying, but the evidence Mutter. Amamah Abaya says, Abaya Hach Kamar. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Ma'arvin yainam im nis'arv asam v'shaltam. Mishnah saying mis'arvin is not that we're allowed to do it l'chatchila. We're allowed to do the wine before the flour and oil were mixed together, before they were mixed together. That even though once the mikcha was mixed together, there's no problem of mixing the wine together. But that's only by Parim Ve'elim, because they have the same ratio. By Parim Kvasim, which don't have the same ratio, they're Chazal Machmer, and you can't mix the wine, even though the soils for Shemen were already mixed. So ask the Gemara, is V'yayin L'chatchil Noi? Does that mean if the Shemen and soils were not mixed, we can't mix the wine? But Tanya, says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, when does the Halacha teach us that we're not allowed to mix the different Nesachim together, the soil is for Shemen, El V'yayin Ma'arvin, isn't that an indication that we're always allowed to mix the Yayin at any point? El Amabaya, says Abaya, this is the way to understand. Hecha, the hook to Saltan V'shamlan, if the soil is for Shemen, were already burnt on the Mizbeach, Ma'arvin Yayin L'chatchil, we can mix the wine, because there's no concern that we're going to come mix the shemen and shells improperly because they were already burnt. Heichad loy hukter, but in a case where the shells and shemen were not yet burnt, im nis arvin shalom mishaltim arvin nami yeinam, then if the shells and shemen already got mixed together of different kabbanas, then we can mix the wine. Mimlav, but if the shells and shemen of these two different kabbanas have not yet been mixed together, im arvin, don't mix the wine. For we need to be concerned, because maybe if you're going to mix the wine, it will come that you will also mix the soils of Shemel Chathila. We learned in the Mishnah, the Keves Abba Ma'imer, even though the mincha that's brought with that is twice the usual size, the Aloch is the Nesachim are the regular size, that by all other Kvasim. Tarabonan, the Bryce elaborates on this Aloch. The Torah says by the Mechas Oimer, Mechas Oimer Shnei Esroinim. We bring two Esroinim, not just one Esroin. Limed, Al Keves Abba Ma'oimer, the Keves that comes with the carbon Oimer on the second day of Pesach, Shemechas Kfula, they have double amount of flour, two Esroinim. Yochol, Shemechas Kfula, just like the flour is double, Kach Yena Kofel, the amount of wine is also double, Tamaloimer, V'niska Yain Revias Ahin, it should be a regular Revias Yayin. We don't add to it. Maybe that only applies to the wine, which the wine is poured on the Mizbeach. It's not mixed into the Korban Mincha. There should be more shemen because the shemen is mixed into the actual Korban Mincha. The Pasuk says, V'niskai, to teach us, kol nesachav, both the wine and the oil, lo yehei el revi, should only be a revi. My Talmud, how do we know that the shemen also should be that way, and the shemen also should not be increased? Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Pasuk says, V'niska yayin. But there's a Korean ksiv. Ksiv v'niska, lashon the cave of a Karina v'niska lashon zachar. Ketzad says the Gemara to teach the niska the mincha, the shemen can niska the yayin. To teach us that the shemen and wine should be the same amount. And my yayin revius, just like the yayin is a revius alone, af shemenami should only be a revius. The halach is that the chattis of the metzora and the osham that the metzora brings are different than the typical chattis of an osham. And they require nesachim. That means even though normally a carbon chattis and a carbon osham do not have nesachim, they do have nesachim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Osh Metzora Sheshachta Shalai Lashma. If somebody brought the Osh Metzora Shalai Lashma, Tar Nesachim, it will require Nesachim like a regular Osh Metzora. Shim E Ata Oymekain. If you know you're going to not say that, Paslasoi, since you can't bring it for another carbon, because as we often state in our Shiurim, Oshim cannot be brought as a Nadava. So in order that we should be able to bring this Oshim to the Mizbeach, it has to be brought as an Oshim Metzora. And if it's being brought like an Oshim Metzora, it requires Nesachim. Maskel of Menashe Megamda, Elamei Ato, that any carbon has to be brought that way. Keves Abba Ma'omer, the Keves that we're speaking about, that's brought with the Snei Esroinim of the Omer, Sheshach Deloi Lashma, Taimen Chasuk Fula, it should require a bigger type of mechus nesachim than normally. Shimata oimer kein paslosai. If not, it can't be used for what it was brought. Or tamat sheshacher sheshachta shloi lishma yitan shnei gizirim b'kain echad. Whenever the carbon tamat is brought, the kain who brings it has to bring two logs of wood. And if this tamat sheshacher is being brought shloi lishma, but we still want to bring it on the mizbeach, it's supposed to be brought like a tamat sheshacher, it should require two zirim. Shim yat amekein, for if you will not say so, paslatoi, you won't be able to put it on the mizbeach. Similarly, tamat sheben abayin sheshachta shloi lishma ye ton shnei gezirim shnei kahanim. The tamat sheben abayin, they brought two logs of wood with two kahanim, and if it was brought shloi lishma, the loch ought to be that it should be brought not just the carbon, but also two logs with two kahanim. For if not, shim ata oimeke pasalto. Vitaima, if you'll argue enochanami, halechashalhu, Rav Yochanan spoke about the Hashem Metzora. He didn't speak about these other examples. But if the same halacha applies by these other examples, he should have said them there too. Elam Arbaya, says Abaya, chad menayin nukat. The halacha is like this in all the cases. Rav Yochanan only gave us one example of many. Rav Abba Mabishla Mahanach Oilson. When we speak about the Karmat Taimon, the Karmat Taimon is a form of a carbon oila. And therefore, Eloi Chazal Oilus Chayva, if it's not going to be used for an oila, Karval Oilus Nadava, so it still has a place on the Mizbeach as an Oilus Nadava. But when we speak about an Osham, as we mentioned earlier, Eloi Mukmisle Bemilse, if you won't bring it as an Osham Mitzayra, Osham Nadava Miyakov, we can't say, well, I'll bring it as a Nadava, because there's no such thing as an Osham Nadava. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, Osha Mitzar Shachta Leishmai, Oh, Shlai Nosma Dava Gabba Bahamis. We know the blood of the Kavan Osham has to be put on the right ear, thumb, and toe of the Osham. Hareu Zu Oil Gab Mizbeach. It's an Osham Shlai Leishmai that can be put on the Mizbeach, but requires Nesachim. And then, because otherwise it doesn't have a place on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, the Tzarech Osham Acher, but then you're going to have to really bring a proper Oshem Mitzayra Latira to be mabel that the Mitzayra should not be able to eat Kachim or enter the Beis HaMikdash.